Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Sharon Bradley, and Patty Zakas. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Before we get started with this evening's show, I'd like to advise you that Maureen is unavailable to host this evening. Unfortunately, her father passed to the spirit world today, and so I'd like to ask everybody listening to please send thoughts of love, healing, and smooth transition to Maureen's wonderful father, and also comforting thoughts to Maureen, her mother, and her family. Okay, now we have a wonderful show lined up for this evening, and I know that Maureen is with us in spirit, so please keep Maureen and her family and father, mother, in your thoughts. Time together this evening. Now, this evening's guest is Peggy Arvidsson. I'm delighted that we'll be enjoying time with Peggy and talking about her fantastic gifts. Before we bring Peggy onto the show, I'd like to let you know that we will be discussing intuitive palmistry, which is a subject that I actually don't know a lot about, but am very interested in. So I can't wait to learn from Peggy this evening. Now, before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts. Firstly, Patty, how are you this evening?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, Patty. It was wonderful to have you here. I always feel calmer and more in tune with spirit when I hear your beautiful voice.
And by the way, Steve, have I ever mentioned I love your accent? I have a thing for accents. I just thought I'd share that with you.
Thank you. I actually have a deep southern accent. I just put an English accent on because it's good for business. it's only a joke. I am British.
Well done. I'm impressed all the way around.
Well, Patty, it's great to have you with us. I love working with you. Can you share with our guests, our listeners, Patty, some information about your spiritual work?
I certainly will. Hi, everybody. I'm an intuitive consultant, empath, and channeler with Psychic Access. I also have a couple of shows. On Monday nights, I've got Spiritual Ground Zero, and on Wednesdays, Fringe Element, both podcasts. And I own my own metaphysical company in Chilliwack called Mystic Metaphysics. And I'm with you guys tonight, which I always enjoy very much.
Well, we're happy to have you with us, Patty. We've got a great show lined up. Maureen's organized a wonderful show and a fantastic guest.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Well, I'd like to also welcome Sharon. How are you doing this evening, Sharon?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's great to have you here. Could you tell our listeners a little about your work as well, please, Sharon?
Sure. I do. I also do work on psychic access, and I don't use any tools except for that I can see and I hear from spirit, and that's how I do my readings. But
wonderful. Well, it's great to have you with us, Sharon. It's going to be a good
Thank
show.
You. Sure.
Now, I'll introduce myself very briefly. My name is Steve Frampton. As I said earlier in the show, I'm a psychic medium, and I also give readings with PsychicAccess.com, which is a pleasure and honor for me. So let's get started with our wonderful show. I'm absolutely delighted and honored to welcome a special guest, Peggy Arvidsson. Peggy is a certified hand analyst through the Institute of Hand Analysis, the International Institute of Hand Analysis. She's also a non-denominational minister and a professional life coach specializing in overachieving creative women and men make the leap from an excellent life to an exceptional one. Well, I may be getting in touch with Peggy myself, as I'm quite type A. Peggy says that there is one size fits only you, or there is a one size fits only you way to connect with the soul's purpose and to manifest our purpose in the world. So whether you're feeling stuck or wondering why you keep repeating the same behaviors that maybe aren't the most constructive for you, your hands do have the answer. So I'm very excited that Peggy's joining us and will be helping us to understand her work. Now, although Peggy's been dabbling in the realm of palmistry since the 1970s, she got really serious about her time, money and energy to become a certified hand analyst. And as a teacher and guide, her focus is giving back the tools that we were born with to identify our life's purpose and also to help us start living that purpose in every our lives. Peggy works with tarot readers, Reiki practitioners, therapists, astrologers, angel communicators, freelancers, and healers of all types to give them specific insight and information to help their clients. And in this process, she uses her great vision to help people identify what's holding them back. She also offers private consultations, group classes, seminars, teleclasses, ebooks, and lots of other services. She's a busy lady, so we're lucky and grateful to have her with us this evening. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Peggy's work, please visit her website, Peggy, P-E-G-G-I-E, Arvidsson, A-R-V-I-D, son.com. Now, before we get started, I just want to remind you that if you missed last week's show about animal communication, you'll find the recorded archive link as well as archives of previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just go to the archives tab and please do fill the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our aim is to connect with as many people as possible, so please do go ahead and share those links. Do stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll want to have your pen and paper handy. Now, I'm delighted to ask Peggy to join us. It's a great pleasure to have you with us on the show, Peggy.
I'm so glad to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
We're delighted to have you here, Peggy. I am really fascinated to learn about hand analysis from you. And Peggy, I wanted to start by focusing on your certification in hand analysis from the International Institute of Hand Analysis. Could you tell us a little bit about your spiritual path and your route through to hand analysis?
Yes, I could. I found the Institute. I'm going to start and then back up a little bit for you. I found the Institute after I had my hands read. And I had my hands read about sometime in the early 2000s. I had started my first business, and it was a very successful business. For those of you just had an animal communicator, it was not animal communication, but it was a pet services company. I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and the business was almost immediately successful. I was very blessed, and I hired a marketing coach, and the business continued to grow, and that sounds great. Every entrepreneur wants that, right? And I was doing something, you know, that wasn't sitting in a corporate office. I'll just leave it like that. And speaking with my coach, I said to her one day, I feel guilty saying this. You know, I have a great business. I have the house of my dreams. I'm driving my cute little convertible. All of these things are great, but I feel like something is missing. I think a lot of type A people go through this. we're so busy doing and succeeding and, you know, checking the boxes that we don't always realize. I certainly didn't realize until I took a deep breath that something was missing. And my coach said, well, you know, I hear you, but I'm a marketing coach. So what you need to do is you need to get your hands read. And I kind of stepped back because we had never really talked about anything that I could, you know, I considered palmistry and tarot, and I've dabbled in all of these things all my life. So I wasn't appalled, but I really couldn't quite figure out how this was going to happen. So I asked her, okay, I guess I'll go down to Georgetown, you know, in the city and find somebody and get my hands read. And she said, no, I have a person for you. You have to talk to her. She's in Arizona. And I thought, wow, this is really pushing my faith. I'm going to get on a plane and go to Arizona. Because probably like most of your listeners, I assumed that you can't read hands unless you're sitting next to the person who's reading your hands. But I was wrong. This person sent me an ink kit, and I made prints of my hands using the ink and filled out her forms and mailed them all back. And about a week and a half later, we sat on the phone for an hour. And I was floored that this was a person who had never met me. I presumed that my marketing coach didn't know any of these things that this woman was telling me about myself, because we talked about marketing. And everything began to shift in a fast-forward way. And what I mean by that is suddenly I realized there was this deeper meaning, and I had the power to take control of it or not. So that was really the beginning. And I was also a little skeptical. For instance, I really couldn't figure out how she knew all this stuff about me. Stuff that I had never told my best friend, even. Just, you know, what my deep longings and my deep desires were, and really what I was here on this planet to do. It really was a wake-up call. I'd like to say that then everything changed right away and the skies opened up and the angels came down singing and everything was hunky-dory from that day forward. But as anyone listening, any one of you knows that the spiritual journey is an ongoing process. We're never done. You know, our life purpose is a life purpose, and our life lesson is our life lesson. We aren't going to be done until we leave the planet in this incarnation, for sure. So I was curious and I was skeptical a little bit, and this woman kept telling me, but you can learn how to do this. And I thought, no, you can't. I've tried reading those books. They don't make any sense to me. And I always get frustrated. But she insisted that this was a replicable system. This was something that could be taught. So I was intrigued. I'm a type A person. I need lots of proof. You know, I really believe that skeptics really are wonderful people, because we're not... A real skeptic wants the answer. You know, we just want to dig for the truth. We're not actually trying to throw stones or mud or anything, but we are looking for the truth as we see it. And we do that often by a series of scientific inquiry. So this particular teacher offered her very first ever certification training. At that time, she was aligned with the International Institute of Hand Analysis, and I went through that training. It was a year-long process. We were in person for probably about maybe 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. I did go to Arizona. I flew out there a couple of times. There were a very small group of us in this class, and then we spent the rest of the year online, working with our partners. We were assigned partners and our tutor and our teacher. And I learned the data. The skeptic in me was put to rest. And every single day, this skeptic in me relaxes a little more when it comes to the hands, because every single moment that I have an opportunity to reach out to someone and to share the wisdom of their hands with them, it blows your mind. I was thinking today in the car that I needed to change my my tagline, and you know, I'm in the process of revamping all of my web presence. But The website will still be the same. It just will look different eventually. But I was thinking my tagline needs to say something along the lines of, you know, beware. Finding, you know, learning the wisdom of your hands can be life-changing, because it can. But it's a long journey. So I hope that answers your question. It was a long answer.
Well, no, it was wonderful, Peggy. I'm fascinated by your work. Now, I've got a question for you that you might not anticipate, and that is, did you begin by studying your own hand? And what did you learn about yourself as you discovered the magical imprint, that unique spiritual blueprint contained in our hands?
Yes, I started with my own. All of us that are seekers, all of us that are type A, all of us that are on a path to change the world, we also like to know what makes us tick. I believe that this essence of curiosity and desire to find answers, to go deeper, that's what I really, no matter what spiritual path you follow, whatever you call it, whether it's a denomination or your own process, it comes from the inner need, that inquiry that we have, that curiosity. Wow, I ask myself every day, why am I really drawn to that? Why do I find this person or this story or this music so fascinating? What is it about that that turns me on, that gives me joy? As much as I do the inner work, why do I keep making these same mistakes over again? Why? So I started, obviously, I had my hands read, and I was told, and this is from our fingerprints. I want to be clear with everybody listening. The biggest myth in palmistry is that everything stays the same in your hands, so that your hands were, you know, they're never going to change. So all you need to do is go have your hands read once and la-di-da. That's not true. Everything in your hands can change except for your fingerprints. So your fingerprints are where I start if we were doing a full-length reading, because I want to translate that for you. That's where your life purpose is. It's where your life lesson is, your life school. Those things are not going to change. And it's so important. This is where the blueprint begins. Everything else in your hands tells me how you're living right now. How are you manifesting these gifts that you have and this purpose? How well are you encountering your lessons and learning them and getting that PhD in life that you're here to do? You know, I just heard a speaker today talk about, you know, life is full of these, you know, initiation moments. And the way that I look at them is those are our lessons. They're initiating us into the next level of our purpose. So it was a very... It took me a long time to accept my life purpose as told to me. And you're so right. I was all about, let me look at my fingerprints now that I know how to read it. She must have been wrong, because my life purpose, according to my fingerprints, is to be a spiritual teacher, to be successful and to be innovative and to teach other people how to connect with their own essence, their own truth. So every day it's an inner journey for me. And yes, this may sound silly, but often when I'm going through challenges or my initiations, the painful periods, or even the joyful periods, I'll look at my own hands and say, what's changed? How am I accepting my purpose? Or how am I avoiding learning my lessons? That's why it's so painful.
I know it is. And, you know, it's fascinating as well that even though our life's work is to provide people with insight, to help people connect with who they truly are and understand the challenges or the lessons, but also the huge opportunities there are in life. Mm-hmm. Despite that, we still experience our own growth. And I've worked a lot on myself in the last year, but it's such an exciting time because energetically right now, everything's speeding up and it's bringing our issues to the surface. And we're really being encouraged to take a great leap forward. And it's just a wonderful time. I want to ask you, Patty, how many or what percentage of people do you feel are truly in tune with their purpose in this lifetime?
It's a twofold answer I have. I think my experience has been that the majority of people that I come across are aware that there is something deeper. Now, I live and work in Washington, D.C. in the suburbs, but anyone who has any knowledge of Washington, D.C., you're not going to call it a very liberal or open-minded city. But everyone I encounter has some inkling. I can see it in their eyes, or I hear it in the questions they ask me when they hear about what I do, no matter what they look like or where they work or what their job title is. So on one hand, I love the hand usage. On one hand, I believe as humans, the majority of us are aware, maybe on a shadow level or some subterranean level. It's our soul that's calling to us. But even of the people that come to me for to work with me, there are very few that are directly, keenly aware that they have a purpose or what their purpose is already. A lot of people come and they think, oh, palmistry, that sounds fun, or that'd be interesting, or tell me what my future is. And my role is to remind them that they have a deeper purpose and they create their future based upon, you know, the tools that they have. I certainly knew there was something
else. It's exciting stuff.
What's that?
It's exciting stuff.
Yeah, it blows me away because I knew there was something more and I was longing for it. And those are the people I most love to work with. But I was a type, you know, I still am type A. I had a corporate job before I started my own company. I made ridiculous amounts of money. I work in a city where people don't talk about this stuff. So to make this full 360 that I've done in 6-7 years is, when I go to bed at night, sometimes I can't, you know, I can't believe the life I'm living because I decided to try and trust this process.
It's brilliant, Peggy. I went on a similar journey. I was in corporate finance working for blue chip corporations. And although I learned a lot and had great opportunities, I just felt that I needed to commit to my spiritual work. And so I took that great leap of faith. I resigned, and I remember some of my colleagues, senior colleagues, asking me, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm a psychic medium, always have been, and I'm going to do my work. Mm. And people couldn't believe it, but you are proof that we can tune into our true purpose, that we can take that leap of faith and jump into our true purpose, our true role in this lifetime. Now, Peggy, I want to ask you about the left hand and the right hand. I was told, I'm not sure whether this is correct or not, but I was told that one of the hands is fixed and doesn't change. It reflects our past or our soul, and that the other hand does change as we progress through life. Is that correct?
I'm going to debunk this myth. Our dominant hand, the hand that we use to write with, or many, many people, I've learned in this work that many people say, oh, I'm ambidextrous. But if you threw a ball at them, which is the hand they would reach out, you know, to protect their face, is usually the one that I would call their dominant hand. Your dominant hand is, now you got to have to listen carefully to this because it's kind of a convoluted explanation, but I know you all are smart enough to get it. Your dominant hand is who you are in the world and who you believe everyone else is perceiving you to be in the world. So you can see how that can be two things, right? We've all met the guy or the girl at the party who thinks she's the life of the party, but really everybody can't wait to get away from her. But in her mind, everybody's saying she's a dreamboat and she's terrific and they can't get enough of her. So she has a mixed vision of who she's presenting in the world and who she thinks she's being seen as in the world. But that's all her dominant hand. Your non-dominant hand is a reflection of who you see yourself to be when you're looking in the mirror and no one else is around. That person that you are working with on the inside before you go to bed or when you first wake up in the morning. That person is the one that maybe is harboring your big dreams or fantasies or beliefs or fears. Perhaps in the boardroom, in your career in finance, you know, you were a tiger and you were cutthroat and you were, you know, and I don't know this about you, don't, but you were going forth and you were doing all the right things and people saw you as this powerhouse. And on the inside, you would go home. That conflict you talked about, but who am I? And I need to pursue my spiritual gift. I'm a psychic medium. That would show up in your non-dominant hand.
Okay.
And does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah, but I didn't make the board, unfortunately, Peggy. But I got out far before I could have got close to that. But it was a great experience. What you're saying is brilliant. Now, Peggy, I want to ask you as well. We have had many shows from numerology to astrology. We've even had discussions about Kabbalah, all manner of fascinating spiritual and metaphysical subjects. Do you feel that there is a strong link or a strong correlation between what you might see in a person's palms and what we might see in their numerology or their astrology, for example?
Yes. It's... When I first started reading hands, part of my certification process was that I had to read 100 pairs of hands and get signatures in order to complete a certain portion of my certification. And I used to do these psychic fairs at a very high-end bookstore here in Alexandria. And they would have mediums and channelers and tarot and numerologists and all manner of gifted, talented people there. And the clients could come in and they'd buy their tickets and go see whoever they wanted to in, you know, 15-minute or 10-minute increments. I don't remember. For whatever reason, because I didn't have the word psychic above my name, nobody wanted to sign up for me. It was always my bane of existence. But that's a story for another day. But when people would come to me, they'd say, oh, well, I went to see Sally with the tarot and I talked to Bill, the medium, and then I talked to, you know, Susan, the psychic, and now I'm talking to you. And you're all telling me more or less the same thing. Why is that? And I would smile and say, because it is your information. It is you. We all simply have different ways, different tools to help you access your gifts. I said, now the bigger question is, you've talked to five of us, what are you going to do as a result? You know, I don't know how the spirits could talk to you any better if you've gone to four or five people and we've all more or less said the same thing. I said, or do you think we really sit around before these things open up and we say, well, if some lady with green eyes and curly hair and a red sweater comes in, let's all tell her this. So that's not the way we work. So I think there's a big correlation. I am clear as a bell, that the reason I was drawn to hand analysis, to this non-predictive palmistry, is simply because the universe had a plan for me to do work where I could guide people to their truth. And the hands were that tool, not the other way around. I could just have, you know, I know numerology. I understand it. I'm not a numerologist by training or certification. That's not my tool. But I have great respect for all of my colleagues that stand in integrity and work and do this work to help others find themselves and reconnect. Because as you said, Steve, it's a long process and it's never ending. And so when I work with a psychic or I work with an astrologer, and of course I've mentioned I'm skeptic, so I'm very clear about making sure I'm working with someone who's working in their own integrity and their own truth. But it is unbelievable. If you have to go to a psychic fair and five different types of readers tell you almost the exact same message, this is because the universe has a message for you. So I think there's a lot of correlation. We just have different tools and different gifts. I'm clear that I did this work in previous lifetimes. There's no way I would have taken to it as quickly as I did. I usually get bored.
I agree. I don't think you. I don't feel we can just. Well, we can always start afresh. But my experience in hiring psychics for psychic access and working with all of my colleagues and clients. Well, my experience is that truly gifted spiritual workers come from a great heritage of spiritual work prior to this lifetime. I want to ask you, Peggy, about the mainstream, so the business world, political world, etc. We're seeing huge shifts in the world in so many ways, and there's so much more exciting change to come. I'm finding that increasingly I'm getting corporate clients, even board members, CEOs that want insight into their business plans and different members of their organization. Do you feel that our work, our spiritual work and metaphysics, will become far more mainstream?
Yes. That's a resounding yes from this girl sitting here in Virginia. First of all, for years I have known that there are a lot of closeted spiritual people working in places like the Pentagon and the, you know, Department of Defense, as well as in the you know, the halls of Congress. People who generally seem to be very conservative. If I had a nickel for every single person that has taken me aside at a business professional networking event, whether, you know, it was a woman who ran into me in the restroom, you know, washing her hands, says, "Oh, I don't want everybody else to know this, but," and they'll tell me about a dream they had about a deceased loved one, or that they get insight every day from their angels. People tell me this in whispers, and I say, "You need to go forth and pursue this and use this." I believe that when everybody talks about, and I don't have any other insight, but I'll bet a lot of your listeners are these corporate leaders and CEOs and directors of major organizations. And it's beyond curiosity why they're listening. It's because they know they're getting the message. It's time to move forward. And if we would all step forward and just ask the question with general curiosity, what is this? What's happening? Then we're going to start to see that change and that shift bigger and faster. We're going to move away from the world. We're already moving away from the world that honors money above all else. I am a person on earth who believes money is good. And you can do many, many great things with money. But we're moving away from that economy of nothing but money. And we're moving to an economy of being whole and finding balance, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. I see so many clients searching for themselves and what they truly want in life and reprioritizing. You know, the number of people that are very successful financially, but who are frustrated or unhappy with their lives, the number of people, it's just incredible how many people are waking up. And as you said, the economic model is changing as well. I mean, I want to ask you about the type A personality a little more, Peggy. I'm type A. So fascinated to learn from you. Do you find that most leaders in the world are or have been type A? And is that part of the problem or part of the opportunity?
Yes. My experience, and this is probably subjective because I think we all work with people who are most like us. I think that's, you know, that's marketing 101. Speak your truth and your tribe will appear. Because I am this way, my energy vibrates this way. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was a type A child. You know, I had a perfectionist streak a mile long when I was 2. My mother will insist and tell you that. When I decided at the age of 5 that I needed to know how to read, I walked in the house and I said to my mother, I need to learn to read. And she said, oh, okay, well, we'll do that after dinner. And I said, no, now. I was certain that I was going to be able to read a full book, you know, after sitting down for 2 hours with my mother. That's how I'm hardwired. I think people like that generally tend to rise to the top of their organization because they don't know any other way. I honestly don't know any other way than to pursue an outcome and to take action. So yes, I think we see them at the head of major corporations, and some of them, as you said, are searching for this other deeper meaning and happiness or balance in their life. So they're going to take that type A, but this is what you do and this is how you do it, and apply that to this new paradigm that we're forming. And I think that's beautiful. Finding the opportunity to apply this, I think it's a great gift to be willing to jump in and take action. The challenge for most of us as we begin this journey is to also find the peace and solace and stillness that is required. I don't have to stop being type A. I am still a type A person and personality, even though I meditate every day. But it was the hardest thing I ever learned to do was to meditate. And imagine how that irritated the heck out of me. Because I was a winner, and this is what you do. And if I just read this book and take this lesson, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to be great. I was so ticked off that it wasn't that it didn't come easy, because you have to be still and in a different mind. So that's why I love working with people who are overachievers.
Can you tell us, Peggy, a little about the palm? So that, for example, if our readers, not our readers, but if our listeners right now are looking at their palms, what should they look out for?
The most common questions I get, so I'll tell you those answers first. The most common questions I receive, and I work with a lot of entrepreneurs or people who want to be entrepreneurs, so naturally they're concerned about money or making things happen, value. So there's a lot of places in the hand to look for that. But we'll start with the middle finger, because the middle finger represents Saturn. And Saturn oversees all things time, value, money-wise. And a nice, you know, the Saturn finger is your middle finger. It normally sits higher than the others on your palm, on your hand. You know, if you think of where your fingers touch the palm as sort of where the tree base, you know, the root starts to go into the ground, that's what we're looking at. So if you have a Saturn finger that maybe even though it's longer than your ring finger or your pointer finger or both, if where it sits, where that root goes into the ground, if that's actually lower than either or both of those fingers, for you, you will always believe that money has to be a struggle. There's also some people have a Saturn line. That's a line that would come up usually from the center, the bottom center of the palm, and aim towards that middle finger. For a lot of my clients, it's perfectly clear and straight from the middle of the bottom middle to the base of the middle finger. For others that are more on a intuitive path or a metaphysical path. It may start on the outside, the outer edge by the pinky, and aim up. And it may not reach the middle finger. But that's an indicator to me how clear the person is on project management and getting things done.
Well, that's incredible. We're going to ask you more about this after the short commercial break that we're going to take, Peggy. But I'm fascinated to learn more. But we'll take our short break right now.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Peggy, after that short commercial break. Can you tell us, Peggy, where do we look on our palms to find the extent to which we are meant to pursue spiritual work? Where do we look to find information about the most suitable career opportunity or path to take?
Such a good question. First of all, I want to give a shout out to one of my forebears in the land of palmistry. There's a gentleman, last name Benham, B-E-N-H-A-M, and he has written a book, or he wrote this book. It was back at the turn of the last century, I think, around called How to Choose Vocations from the Hands. He was one of the first Western palmists to receive any prominence. And it's a good guide, but nobody wants to read all that. So the spiritual aspect, and I want to give you a caveat first, Steve, because for years, I would go see psychics or mediums or, you know, even Tarot, whoever, you know, in groups and one-to-one, and not one of them ever told me that I was meant to pursue like a spiritual, metaphysical, psychic kind of life. No one ever, like, you know, said, you have this talent. And that wouldn't have been so bad if I hadn't been in all of these groups where they would point to somebody and say, oh, you have this gift. You have the gift of psychic, you know. And I'd be thinking, what about me? I thought I was psychic. So I want to give everyone this caveat. Because you don't have something or you don't see it in your hands, doesn't mean that it's not showing up somewhere else. Because each hand is so unique and so multifaceted. It's like an onion or like Shrek. And to recognize one thing is not always the only marker. But I'm going to tell you the most common markers that I see on people who have these gifts of a spiritual calling. I just wanted to make that caveat clear because I don't want anybody to get off the, you know, to stop listening to the show and say, oh, but what about me? Because you probably do. I believe we all have our special gifts. But the pinky in the palm, the Mercury finger is also what we call it, is all about communication and healing. Now, communication certainly is what we're doing now. You know, we have technology bringing us together so we can all speak and learn and listen and share. The telephone, your writing, singing, all of those forms of communication, absolutely. Generally, that falls under the realm of Mercury in our hand. But also communication with the divine or the other side or our higher self. So when I see a Mercury finger, a pinky finger that maybe is overly large or stands out in some way or has a very strong vertical line. I get confused between vertical and horizontal. Vertical line that comes up to the base of the pinky finger or around the pinky finger, or has several little tiny vertical lines that are coming down off that pinky. That is a definite sign that you are here to do your own inner work, travel your own journey, heal yourself, baby, so that you can get out there and you can help other people transmute their challenges. And you do that with divine guidance. I don't believe any of us do our work, whatever it is, whether we're an accountant or we're a preacher. We don't do our work without some sort of divine guidance. I know that kind of irritates the atheist, but that's okay. I'm used to this conversation. I'm okay because, you know, I love my atheist friends too. But and that's another discussion for another time. Somebody that maybe has a freckle or a scar or has significantly injured in a way that's altered the pinky finger, we're probably going to spend a lot of time talking about their spirituality and their process and their growth in the journey. Another place, excuse me, to look is in your thumb. Some people have three zones in their thumb. Ultimately, that would be great if you had three zones. But many, many people that come to me are missing sort of what I would call the bottom zone. So there's the tip of the thumb, where obviously on the other side you have your fingernail. And then there's the middle zone, obviously, that comes right after that tip. And then you may have, or you may not, and it's okay either way, another third zone down there where that lowest joint is. And then there's another line that shows you where the thumb joins the palm. Now, that middle zone, and for some of you it may be the middle and the bottom zone, that's okay. If you look at that space there and you see anything on that thumb that looks like an asterisk, you know, those little stars that they have on the typewriter with six legs coming out, they meet in the middle. It may not be perfectly neat. It might not be as neat as it would on your typewriter or your typesetting device, but it has six legs, six spokes at least. In palmistry, or in my line of work, we call that the seer star, S-E-E-R, seer star. And that is definitely indicative of someone who has the gift of clairvoyance. I do not have this gift. Clairvoyance has never been mine. Maybe that's why all those psychics never told me. But most people are kind of, it's a gift marking. And in my line of work, gift markings show up because we're not using the gift and we have to pay a penalty. So the gift of the seer star is this ability to see what will happen. You could do that from, you know, normal perspective. Oh, I don't feel like going to the gym. But then you see yourself completing your workout and how great you feel. So, you know, you go ahead and you do it. To the big stuff, like I see what's going to happen 5 years down the road or 3 years down the road. Different from predicting for other people, of course. That's a whole other story, another show. If you have this gift marking, though, you are probably hiding out from your gift. I don't have that gift. I don't know what she's talking about. Oh, yeah, I had that dream the other day, but I don't have time to deal with it. I'll just think about that later. So they're kind of shoving their gift down, you know, into the carpet or the basement somewhere, and they figure they'll get to it later. But those are two definite places I would look for that spiritual bent, or that I may have something here. Oftentimes, that's where it shows up in the hands of people that are real successful doing something completely unrelated to what their heart is calling them to do.
Absolutely. Well, I want to invite one of my co-hosts, Sharon, to ask you a question, Peggy.
Oh, good.
Sharon wants to ask you something. So go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, Peggy. Thank you. So interesting.
Okay.
I have a question. When I was young, I went through a glass window, and I have a huge scar across my left hand. Does that, and now what happens, you kind of mentioned it, so maybe my question's redundant, but does that, like, become part of your hand?
Yes. That's,
okay.
Well, first of all, I'm really sorry that you went through the glass window. That sounds very painful.
I can't remember. But
well, good. That's probably best, right? Now, Sharon, where is the scar?
It's okay. So, like, you know how you're in your wrist have the lines on your wrist? It's kind of above an inch, sort of on the left towards the thumb, but it goes right from the back of the thumb right to the middle of the palm.
Ah, That zone, and that happened when you were a little girl, yes? You were little when that happened?
Yes.
Okay. That zone is the zone of Venus. You know, the goddess, that beautiful goddess who brings us joy, and she's a muse to many. But she also represents for us in my work wonder, awe, and play. And oftentimes when we see that area compromised, it can indicate somebody who had to grow up real fast. I had to shove all my childhood in a box under the bed. And play? Who has time to play? I don't have time to play. Playing is silly, you know, sort of that thing. Now, because it's a scar, oftentimes the scars will show up. They remain as reminders. So in your case, it could be a medal reminding you that despite perhaps a difficult childhood, you still have the ability to play anytime you want to. Part of your purpose is to bring that light and joy to other people just from that that innate sense of curiosity and wonder and awe.
I like that. Thank you.
Kind of cool. You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sharon. Peggy, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. You're absolutely fascinating. And I want to thank you so very much for joining us and sharing your story and all of your knowledge and expertise. It's been wonderful.
Oh, it has been great, and I can't believe it went so fast. Thank you. And to all your listeners, I really appreciate your time and your energy listening in, because I love this stuff.
Well, thank you, Peggy. We've had such fun with you and do very much appreciate your work. So thank you for being with us. It's just been wonderful.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Peggy. Bye-bye. Now, if you'd like to find out more about Peggy's work, her workshops and services, her last name is Arvidsson, Arvidsson. And Peggy's website is Peggy, that's Peggie, Arvidsson, Arvidsson.com. So do check out Peggy's wonderful website and also learn about the Exceptional Life Tribe program and the opportunity to receive laser clear assistance from Peggy and her wonderful gifts. Peggy's contact information is also on our guests page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So please do read about Peggy and her work. Now, before we move to the next part of the show, I'd like to make a few announcements. Please do be sure to visit our fantastic blogging website, psychicbloggers.com. You can learn about so many subjects there, from tarot, astrology, numerology, mediumship, and much, much more. So do check that out. All of the information there is free, and that's provided by the gifted psychics at psychicaccess.com. Now, if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our psychics are verified, accuracy tested, and each have their own unique gifts. So you can check out their profiles, learn about them, and choose from the list of psychics that you're drawn to. We have some wonderfully gifted and very authentic light workers on Psychic Access. It's my honor to work with Doug on Psychic Access. We have very high expectations and standards, and we apply all of those expectations and standards to our customers' experiences and to everybody that's part of the Psychic Access family. All of the co-hosts on the Psychic Access Talk Radio show also work on Psychic Access, so if you'd like a personal reading from one of us, please do visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And if you are a website owner or a webmaster, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading for traffic that is referred from your website to psychicaccess.com. So if you would like more information about that great offer, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Now, if you like our show, please invite your friends and family to join us. You can join us in the chat room or listen live to the Psychic Viewpoint. There really is something for everybody, so please do help us by spreading the word, and we very much appreciate your support. Now get your pen and paper ready. I'm going to announce the call-in number for the end of the show when we'll be taking your calls. That number is 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. Okay, now, Patty, I want to ask you, do you interpret palms?
Hey, Steve. You know what? I wish I could say I do. It's not a genre I ever got into at this point in time. I've read some books, and I know a couple of very close friends of mine are palm readers and very, very gifted ones at that, but it's just not a genre that I pursued at all. I loved Peggy tonight. She was a well of information. I wanted to ask her a question, and too bad I didn't jump on that, because as far as palms go, a little bit of an interesting thing. Years ago when I was a child, I got stabbed in the right hand, down my thumb, and I carried that scar for years. And when she was talking about the three sections of the thumb, I've got the asterisks that she was talking about. I've got a couple of them, to tell you the truth. But that scar that I carried since childhood, interestingly enough, completely disappeared when I started doing this, working in this realm full time. It literally has just disappeared. It's gone. And I really, now I'm curious. I'm wondering what exactly that means.
Well, I can't give you the answer, Patty, because I don't know a lot about palmistry.
No,
but I do believe that.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Everything is symbolic.
Yes.
So there must be a deeply symbolic meaning behind that experience.
There must be, and I'm wondering if it has to do with acknowledging the intuitive abilities. You know, but I guess we'll leave. I'm definitely going to give her a call and have a palm reading from her. I think that would be absolutely fascinating.
It is fascinating. I had a wonderful palmist in London. His name was Marshall, and he told me such incredible details about myself and my future. Even the number of my home, the home that I would move to ultimately in the States, before I even contemplated the idea of moving to the States. You know, he's in spirit. He's a wonderful, wonderful man with exceptional knowledge. And I know that he's extremely passionate about his work. So I encourage anybody out there that wants to specialize in palmistry to meditate and ask Marshall for his support and guidance, because as we know, we continue our work when we do transition to the spirit world. Now, Sharon, I want to ask you, do you believe that your hand changes as things change?
Well, she kind of said that too. I think they do, because I look at my hands sometimes and they change. Like my lines kind of go change, and it's almost like they grow with you, you know? Do you find that too?
I honestly have not looked enough in detail at my palmistry, but yeah. I'm so busy to look. I need to. So I'm interested about Patty's workshops. It's time for me to have a little break and go and do some studying.
Yeah, I saw that she has workshops. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you have a question, Steve.
Have we lost Steve?
Oh, maybe we lost Steve. So you know what, Patty? I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever had your palm read?
You know what, Sharon? I have twice, and both of them were an incredible experience. When Peggy was talking in the beginning about the long-distance palm reading with, you know, a piece of paper and an ink pad, that was my second palm reading, and I tell you, I still have it to this day. And I have to tell you, 95% of everything she put down there has come to fruition.
Wow.
And it absolutely blew me away. a lot of it, you know how when you read something, it's even like getting a reading of any kind, when you find things out about yourself or your future, and you think at the time, oh yeah, that's not going to happen, whatever. Mm-hmm. She was absolutely correct about everything. And the first palm reading I had was probably the most eye-opening experience ever. She was an intuitive palm reader as well. She was an automatic writer. And not only did she read my palm, but she had given me a lot of information about my past and my connection to a fear of water, because I had drowned in a past lifetime. Surprise, surprise. Very, very accurate about a lot of things, but I found it wonderful. I wish I had more of a, it's not that I don't have an interest in it, Sharon, it's just that it's just not the genre for me. I don't connect to it. It's mm-hmm. kind of like astrology, and I don't get along. What about you?
No, I don't know how. I like it. I like all the lines in my hand. Like, I look at them sometimes, but like, I don't know what they mean. I guess it'd be interesting to learn, but I've never had a...
You never had one done either?
No, never. Except for my husband fooling around, but like, this means that. Like, you know, but yeah, I would love to get hers. Like, it looks like it'd be really interesting.
Oh yeah, it really does. I just love what she had to say. Absolutely love what she had to say. There's so much to it. I had no idea. My doctor dabbles in it a little bit. She reads books, and she's actually, you know, quite gifted, but I've just never tried it.
So now do you mind if I ask you another question?
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, I guess I could ask myself a question.
Yeah, I was going to say I could ask you a question if you like.
Okay, can you see the question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go for it.
What have you been told boxes mean?
Okay, I have boxes all over my hand. Do you have any?
You know what? I'm interesting you brought that up. I have a couple of them actually on my left hand. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a lot of them. Stars and boxes.
Do you? Yeah, I have like a big M. Do you have a big M right in the middle?
On my left hand, I do, yes.
Yeah. But I've heard the boxes are like protection. I don't know if that's true or not. I just kind of heard that a long time ago. So it's interesting because I have them all like lined up like little boxes.
Yeah, I've got, on one side, I've got three little boxes that are adjoining. That is kind of interesting. It's too bad we don't really know anything about it.
Bring her back on.
We're not quite finished with her yet.
Yeah, but it's like, it is interesting, you know, maybe we should take the course because then we'll know a little bit more. But so Patty, do you yourself use numerology in your readings?
You know what? That is another thing that I don't, that is another genre that it doesn't work for well for me. And I'll tell you why. In high school, the math teacher in high school, and it has anything to do with numbers, that's just my personality. But my brother, just quickly, my brother is a genius, literally a genius. And we're talking IQ range when they used to do IQs, a genius. And my math high school teacher stood in front of my desk and looked at me and said, "You better marry rich." So we.
That's so horrible.
Yeah, it is. So 2 + 2 = 5, doesn't it? No. Numerology.
Well, you can do intuitive numerology.
Exactly.
Well, some people are number people and some people aren't, right?
Exactly. Not everybody's.
Yeah, yeah. I use numerology for a bit. Just when I do a reading, I figure out what year they're in, because I find that usually works. You know, like just gives you a little bit to know whether they're in a 1 year or 9 year. You know, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, so. I'm sure it would. Anything that we can incorporate. And I don't know about you, Sharon. And actually, what is the genres that you're most comfortable with?
Well, I'm not very good with like tools. Like I do use like a little bit of numerology, and I don't know if you've ever used Seven Thunders. It's like where they use the playing cards. Have you ever used that? Well, he was actually on our site once. I had him on the radio, Robert Camp.
Okay.
Yeah, so I use that, but really nothing. I just kind of let loose and just let spirit talk. Less complicated that way.
You know, it is, isn't it? You know, I do use tarots and things like that, but I think my biggest thing is channeling. And it's when the information comes, it just flows. There's there's no hesitation, there's no anything, it just comes. So it's nice to incorporate other things if you can, or if you're interested in it. We attach to our gifts. Did you ever find that? It's just you attach to what you know.
Right, yeah. But and it's hard. The hardest part of channeling, of course, is to get out of the way, right? Like at first you're like, oh, I'm not saying that, right? And then after a while you just learn to get out of the way.
Isn't that truth, girl? I've stopped myself a couple of times going, oh my gosh, I can't say that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I never say anything bad, but if you know, it's something, it's like, you know the person loves the house they're living in, and they're saying you're going to move. It's like, oh, I'm not saying that. But you say it anyways, and then they end up moving, so you're okay.
Oh, yes. I've had a few people in front of me protesting, going, no, 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 okay.
It's too funny.
Yes. Guys, he's
back.
Hey. So you obviously meant to converse together there first for a while. I lost my internet access, and it's fascinating because, as I say every week, it only happens to me when I'm working direct with other psychics.
Ah, the energy.
Well, you know what, Steve, I think it's just the energy that we put out when we're all connected, because I find the same thing sometimes on I'm on Skype calls or whatever with coworkers, and there's a lot of interference, so a lot of times we lose people.
So did you see that on her? Oh, there he is. That him? Oops. Okay. On her site, she has a thing where you send in your hands, and then she helps you with your business. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, that would be interesting. I think that's part of the reading that I want, too. A little bit of guidance. I guess our hands, our bodies, our spirit selves tell a story, don't they?
Yeah. But sometimes, like, you move forward and you think you're hearing, you know, but it would be interesting to see, like, even, you know, if you're supposed to, let's say you're supposed to have a blog, or you're supposed to have this, or supposed to have that, you know? It'd be very interesting to find out.
Some part of whatever you're doing that isn't quite working for you, release it. Maybe take a different direction in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Including, and I'm glad you brought up these things about her classes. Even though I've never really tuned into palmistry, I would be really curious in taking one of her classes, actually.
Yeah, they're not that much either.
No, they're not. And it's always nice to, even just to go learn it and see if I can connect to it. I don't know about you, but if it's something I can connect to, let's run with it.
Yeah, for sure. It's just one more thing to, it's always nice. Then you can look at someone's hand, they can touch them and find it, try and get a little bit of energy from them and stuff.
Don't you guys find it amazing, though, how, I'm back. I was just thinking that, you know, when you were talking, Sharon, about seeing somebody's palm, it reminded me of my spiritual work when I was younger, and working always face to face with people. And then moving to the States, I started speaking to a lot of my clients by telephone, because I was such a distance away, and I was really excited to truly see that time and space are irrelevant, and we can connect with each other energetically and read for each other by telephone. And then working also on the chat room, the video chats with Psychic Access, opened up my mind again to the fact that you can just tune into somebody without even seeing them, hearing their voice. It's just incredible.
Yes, except, you know, I don't know if you do email readings, but I do that on my site, and it you know, everybody goes like, well, how do you do it? But it's just, you just, it's just like anything, right? You just hook in, right?
Right. You tune into the energy of the person, of the picture, of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense to me.
For sure.
It's really so fascinating. What do you guys do to continue your spiritual development? Because, as Peggy was saying, even in this field, even though this is what we do full time, there's so much to learn. I am blown away by the amount of knowledge there is to gain, the value of experience in this field. And it just seems to me that I can learn about metaphysics and working with spirit, psychic work, mediumship for eternity. What do you guys do to continue your spiritual growth and the development of your gifts?
Sharon, do you want to take this?
Okay, sure. I find that something will come to me, and then it's like I know it's interesting because next week I have on a lady that does names, right? And long time ago, I took one little course about names, and I thought, how come I can never find anything about this anymore, right? And then along comes her book. So it's like I'm always, things always find me, and then it's like I'm passionate just even for just a moment just to find out everything I can about that subject, and then I'll move on to something new. But I usually stick like you always stick with what you know, and then you add a little bit to it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, it does. Very much so, Sharon. I, you know what? I have to be honest. What I do is I ask for teachers to come forward. And there's a couple of reasons for that. For me, I was in a really bad car accident in 97, and I ended up with a mild form of brain damage, so I've got short-term memory loss. So I can read something over and over and over again, and if it doesn't resonate with me, it really does just kind of go through me. And it's not that I don't do a lot of reading and a lot of studying, but here it is. And I don't know if this is completely in a metaphysical sense, but I tend to think so at times. I glean what I need from it, and the rest of it is kind of gone. I will write things out, but really I ask universe for teachers to come in, and I've been very blessed that way. And that's how I continue my education, is I get hooked up with the next teacher or more teachers, instructors, people who have different gifts than I do, who've helped me nurture mine and introduce me to an entire new world in a lot of ways. So that's my so that's my education.
We need to have a psychic access cruise with lots of workshops and readings. Wouldn't that be incredible?
Oh, that'd be neat.
That totally. Do you hear that, Doug?
Fun.
Doug will be looking at his budget right now.
It was worth a shot. I thought I'd put that out there, but I agree with you, Steve. I think that would be amazing, and I think the turnout for that and the response would be incredible.
I'd love that.
It would. One day, perhaps. Okay. One day. Now, I'm thinking that we're going to go to the part of the show shortly when we'll take some readings. So we'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll take some calls. So I'm going to repeat the call-in number for those of you that would like to call in. It's 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that for you, 724-444-4851. Now, when you do call in, please be aware that you'll be placed on hold, and we'll take calls in the order in which they're received. So just relax and continue to listen to the show while you wait. And when you do get through, please be specific and direct with your question. We only have a certain amount of time with each caller, so if you're clear about where you want guidance, that will help us to quickly connect with your situation and give you some of the insight that you require. Now, I'm interested to ask you guys, Patty and Sharon, we're moving rapidly towards 2012. I've noticed this week that the energy is just so fast-paced. I'm seeing more and more clients that are really waking up to what they really want in life. And sometimes that can be very challenging as we face change and transition. How are you both feeling at the moment? Do you feel the energy accelerating? And what do you feel as we approach 2012? Mm-hmm. Perhaps you could go first, Patty.
Okay, Steve. I agree there's a lot of changes going on. And what I'm finding is I'm having a lot of clients and friends and coworkers having the same issues at the same time. It's like rather in comparison of like when you have a bad day and everything goes wrong, there is a group of the people that are connected to me And actually, yesterday was a perfect example that no matter what anybody touched, it kind of fell apart. In the same token, their spirituality, things that are happening to them, whether it be seeing spirit, hearing spirit, going through major shifts in their lives, seem to be coming in cycles for groups of people. And, you know, it's not to say the entire planet is going through the same thing at exactly the same moment, but groups of people, and there is an ascension process going on. There are people, I get a lot of phone calls, Steve, and I don't know if you guys have been experiencing this too, but rather been inundated the last year or so with clients phoning in who are having experiences with the spiritual world that have never had experiences before. And that's where I'm finding the veil is getting thinner and thinner between our world and the spirit world. So many shifts happening at the same time. You know, 2011, there's been this big hoo-ha about what's going to happen and the end of the world and all this stuff. And I have to tell you, there is going to me, and this is just opinion, of course, there is no end of the world coming up. This is really just the rise in consciousness that's happening. And you can see it happening layer by layer, people having different experiences, people getting to this point in their lives where they're going, wait a minute, is this my belief system or is this what I've been told I'm supposed to believe? And people are starting to wade through that a little bit. And it's not that I'm not accepting of other people's belief systems, religions, things like that. It is whatever you find peace in. But I believe the awareness is changing and shifting. People are asking more questions. They're seeking knowledge. And my advice to everybody is seek that knowledge within yourself. Listen to the voices. Listen to your instincts. Follow your guts.
That's good advice, Patty. A very good friend of mine said to me yesterday, it's not the beginning of the end, it's the end of the beginning. In other words, that we're moving into a wonderful new age, and we've been transitioning into that age for quite some time. But we're coming to the end of the beginning of that transition. So people really are becoming aware now, and I really enjoyed Peggy's comments about metaphysics and psychic work becoming far more mainstream.
Yes, yeah. And she's right. That has really come to the forefront lately, hasn't it? Do you find that too, Sharon?
Yes, big time. I noticed that a lot of people, like the root chakra stuff, the spirit just doesn't seem to have patience for it anymore. You know? It's like, okay, move on. That's what I find.
What can you tell us about the chakras, Sharon?
Oh, me? I don't know that much about it. I just know, like, the old stuff, like the, you know, the old relationship, the old, like, you know, look, I'm a victim stuff. I just find, like, before I found that spirit would go on and help people. But now I feel spirit just kind of going, okay, snap out of that because there's a plan. You know, like, they don't seem to be as patient spirit. That's what I'm getting. I mean, it could be me, but do you find that? The chakras, I don't really know that much about. I mean, the root chakras, all your grungy old stuff. And then, you know, I don't know that much about it. Do you?
Well, I know a fair amount, but I'm not an expert on the chakras. I have to be honest with you. I've probably said this before. I grew up with mediumship, and it was just such a normal part of my life to see spirit, hear spirit, and communicate with them that I didn't really focus on learning about traditional metaphysics. So, in other words, I didn't learn about the chakras and the tarot, astrology. It was later on in life when I really wanted to expand my awareness and my development. That's when I started to learn about chakras and metaphysics. But originally, it didn't seem important to me partly because I wasn't really, well, I wasn't aware. I just lived my life as I lived my life and worked closely with spirit.
Right, but that's where you were mostly tuned into. So really, you know, your gifts were well, your gifts are a gift. I don't mean to make that sound like a double-edged sword, but you gathered knowledge as you went, and it wasn't because you didn't know about it. Again, it was because you didn't know about it, but you already had a great base, Steve. Like, you were born with amazing gifts, and those were nurtured from childhood. You're very blessed that way, too.
I was, and I was... I was fortunate as well in, well, perhaps fortunate, perhaps unfortunate, in that I didn't have a religious upbringing. So my parents weren't church-going. So they have beliefs. They mm-hmm. they have strong beliefs and ethics. But I was left really to develop my own awareness, and then I learned much more about religions as I went on. So that's my journey. But we do have a caller from Florida, and I believe Patty, you're going to take this call.
I would love to. Hello, Florida.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Florida. Can I get your first name?
Hi, Sheila.
Can I get your first name?
Sheila.
Sheila. Thanks, Sheila. Sorry about that. Didn't quite hear you. So what's going on in your life, honey? What can I help you with tonight?
I'm having problems sleeping at night.
You're having problems sleeping at night. Are you getting woken up at the same, when you do fall asleep, are you getting woken up at the same time?
Am I what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sheila, when you said you were having problems sleeping at night, let me go backwards here. Are you having a problem getting to sleep, or are you getting woken up at around the same time every morning?
Yeah,
like in the middle of morning, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning?
Right. Yes.
Yes. Okay, sweetie. You know what? There is an energy around you, and there is spirit in your home, definitely. Really attached to you. Nothing malevolent, nothing negative. Don't worry about that. But they're trying to get your attention, and there's a message that needs to come through for you. Being continually woken up in the middle of the night, especially it's around the same time. And to use the terminology, between about 11, 12 o'clock at night and 5 o'clock in the morning is what's deemed as dead time. And that's when spirits are most active. I really feel a female energy with you, possibly a grandmother.
I'm sorry, you said a female?
Trying to get your attention. Well, and letting you know that she's there, energy, possibly a grandparent, grandmother. Trying to get, and letting you know, you need to know that you're protected. Sheila, you need to know that everything's going to be okay. There's been some stress in your life. You've been carrying a lot of burdens, and the energy from our past loved ones are really fairly important to help give us that energy and strength. One thing that I have to, honey, how old are you, Sheila?
47.
47. Okay. So, well, we're not using last names, so breathe easy. Sheila, could you pick a number between 1 and 47 for me, please?
Pick a number between 1 and 47?
Yes.
32.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure if you don't have to answer this, but I'm just going to fill you in here very quickly. Something happened to you at age 32 that was extremely impactful in your life, and I'm talking something that you're still holding on to, a hurt, a huge situation, something that is still weighing you down and that you're still dragging on with you, and whether you're consciously aware of it or not. After we hang up, I would really, really encourage you to take a good look at going back, even if you have to ask family and friends, of what is happening or what had happened to you at 32, if you're not already aware of it. Just to use a quick example, let's say we had a really, really bad breakup at some point in time, and somebody has cheated on us or lied to us, manipulated us, and left us with a whole pile of hurt and pain that we're carrying across. We tend to put up walls when dealing with new relationships then, because we're still carrying on that past pain. This is just an example for you. So something very significant happened when you're 32, is still affecting you to this day. And it is definitely a maternal grandmother or great grandmother, but maternal and very strong, letting you know that they're still there for you. You do have energy in your home, honey. And you are, by the way, very empathic. And just to say very quickly, when you're feeling great, when you get up in the morning and you're feeling wonderful and you go someplace and all of a sudden everything changes, you have a headache, you don't feel well, you can't wait to get out of there. That's not you acting bipolar. That's not you having mood swings. This is you picking up the energy of other people, and you're like a sponge, honey. You have to learn how to separate that from yourself because you carry a lot. You're really the go-to girl for all your friends, which is wonderful, but you've got to start taking care of yourself. Okay? Please.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. But this has been happening every night.
Yeah. And it will probably continue to happen. Now that you've acknowledged it, it should settle down. Okay. It should settle down a little bit. Talk to your grandmother. Talk to her. Let her know that you know that she's there. There are times that you're pushing stuff away from your face. I see you wiping something away from your face at night, like a hair is maybe on your face, but that's not a hair. That is them. That is her actually literally playing with your hair or brushing your cheek. She doesn't want to alarm you. She doesn't want to scare you, but she wants you to know that she's there. And she's, like I said, a very protective energy around you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so don't worry about that. Connect with her and draw on that energy, Sheila.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sheila. It's great to have you on the show, and want to thank you for listening and for calling in. And thank you to you as well, Patty, for that insight. Now, we also have a caller from North Carolina for Sharon.
Hi, North Carolina. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Did you have a question for me? This is Sharon. Is he from North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a question for me?
Yes. I have psychic abilities and recently started working doing readings. Sometimes I do great, but other times I get anxious and I just freeze up. And I was wondering, like, how do I get past that, or should I consider, like, a different job?
No. If you're opening up to it, of course, keep going. You know what? We all get anxious sometimes. And what you have to do is, and especially if you have someone in front of you, I mean, we're always tested. So sometimes you get someone in front of you and they go, no. And then you get nervous, right? So what you have to do is kind of, when you feel that anxiousness coming, just kind of stop. And ask spirit to just close your eyes for a moment and just tell them, you could just tell them just a moment and just ask spirit to give you the right words or to be crystal clear or, you know, but just calm down. And a good way to avoid that anxiety is to do, a prayer before and just tell spirit to tell you the right things that you need to tell this person because obviously they've been brought to you for a reason, you know, and don't give up. Oh, no. There's tests all along the way. Well, you know, everyone's always tested, but keep going. I feel that you have a real gift and, you know, keep going. What kind of tool are you using? Like, what do you do with the readings?
I use spirit guides and prayer meditation and a pendulum. I don't use tarot cards.
Okay, so that sounds great. It sounds like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But like I said, just tell prayer. Just tell spirit to be crystal clear so you can hear. And, you know, and so just if you get anxious, just close your eyes for a moment and just, you know, just ask spirit to help, and they will. You know, we all go through it sometimes. So it's not like it doesn't go away ever completely, right? So you learn to deal. All right, but keep going. You're important.
I was worried that when I get anxious, I'm blocking them out. My spirit guides.
Well, all you're blocking out is your self, like your self-esteem is taking over, your ego is taking over, right? So, right. You know, you just have to, you have to realize that it's not you, it's spirit. And, you know, that's all that's happening. It's just your own ego going, you're not good enough. You look what you're doing. You're not good enough. And you just tell your ego to take a hike and then you go back to your spirit self that knows the answers. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good job. Keep going.
Thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you for calling, and thank you to you as well, Sharon. Now we have a caller from New Jersey, and I'll take this call. Who's calling?
Steve, this is Deborah. I feel like my whole world's crumbling. What do you see for me?
I don't feel like your world's crumbling, Deborah. This has been a really challenging week. You know, I pride myself on staying really optimistic and upbeat about life, and my life included, because of the work I do and the importance of me being optimistic and encouraging clients whilst telling them the truth. But I can tell you, Deborah, this has been a tough week. I have found this week tough. The energy's fast. And this week, for me, for example, many old feelings, emotions from the past have risen to the surface, and it's been quite a challenge. This is a really transformational time, Deborah, and this is what you're experiencing. You're a really sensitive girl. You're in tune with spirit, and so you feel the intensity of the energy, and you feel internally within your body, within your being, your spirit, you feel the transformation that the world is going through. And you have to know that it's not purely about you. You're in tune with change. You're in tune with transformation, and you're being encouraged to reflect deeply and to get really strong clarity about what it is you're creating in life. And that includes, for me, for you, and for many, many other people, it includes facing the future with love for ourselves, knowing that there's a great plan for each of us, and knowing that the people we love, we will always love. Love doesn't die, it transmutes. And you are at a point where you really have to love yourself and move forward with your life for yourself, and relinquish your attachment to any one outcome or any one person in particular. It doesn't mean that you're letting go of them, that you will no longer have a connection, or that they won't come into your life. It means that you have to let go, let go, let go of any feelings or any situations that are not serving you right now. Because as you let go, new energy, new opportunities come into your life. So we have to be strong right now. And you have to be strong, and it starts with sincerely loving yourself, knowing that you're wonderful, knowing that you're complete, that you can create wonderful, wonderful magic and opportunities in life. But we have to release attachments and trust that things will work out just as they're meant to work out per the contracts that we make with people before we come into this world. Does that make sense?
It does. Where do you see, I love the job I have. Do you see a change? Because I know they're going through a budget thing too.
I do feel change for you, Deborah. But it's positive change for you. You have no need to be afraid of life. or of circumstances. And there are going to be changes, quite significant changes in the organization you're with, but it will work out fine for you. You need to be aware that between now and the month of May next year, you need to focus on yourself, your spiritual development, exploring yourself, your truth, and spending time reflecting, trusting, learning, and creating a really strong vision for your future. You're an amazing girl, Deborah, but you have an opportunity in this time to create an extremely strong vision for your life, to really step up your expectations of the world and of other people, and to articulate to spirit, to your higher self and to your spirit guides, to the universe, to God, what it is you're creating, and to set high expectations. You know, we use the expression, ask and it will be given, ask and it will be given. Mm-hmm. But somehow we use that expression, that wonderful saying, but we forget that the focus is ask. We have to ask. We have to have a vision for what we expect, what we're creating in life, what we will hold out for, and therefore what we will not accept when tests of our focus upon that vision come our way. So create a really strong vision. Focus not on one individual or one job. Focus on what you want to be, feel, have, experience, do in this wonderful, wonderful lifetime. That's where we should maintain our focus. And when we do that with love and respect for ourselves, and we combine that vision with self-development, self-nurturance, respect for ourselves and the world, magical, magical things happen beyond our wildest dreams. And you have to trust in that process, because I know from my experiences in life that it gets painful at times. We get low at times. We struggle with some of the challenges, but we have to have faith and we have to love ourselves. And when we do that, everything can change. So these are the messages for you, Deborah, and they're important messages for everybody who is feeling the intensity of this shift, this awakening that we're moving through. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure. And we're with you, Deborah. I, as I said, I've had a very, very challenging week, and I know many people have. You're not alone in your feelings, and we are all part of this great matrix, this great spiritual matrix. We come from the Godhead. We are part of one great whole, and never need to feel alone, or never need to feel that what we're experiencing is a reflection purely of ourselves as individuals, because the truth is we are a collective consciousness, a collective group or entity, and what you feel, other people are feeling as well. And as we focus on enlightenment, as we focus on self-love, we become part of that driving force that can change this world for everybody, including us as individual expressions of spirit or of God. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Lots of love to you, Deborah. You take care. I'll be thinking of you. We'll be including you in our prayers this evening, and just know that you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to work out just fine. So be strong.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I know. Okay. Well, this is a huge time of shift. So many emotions are bubbling to the surface, and I'm sure Patty and Sharon, you agree, we're being called to deal with our past and to embrace the future with a clear awareness of the lessons that we choose to integrate from the experiences we've had and are having.
Oh, very true, Steve. Very true.
Okay, well, I feel for Deborah, and I know from speaking to so many clients this week that there are lots of shifts. So when these things bubble to the surface, we need to embrace them, feel into them, and know that they're part of our growth. We do have another caller, actually, Patty, for you. Okay. This caller is from Georgia.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Hello, Georgia. Are you there?
Oh, hey, Patty, it's Heather.
I was just sweetheart.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Lately, when I've been speaking to people, I catch myself, I kind of go off in a zone, and the words just start to spill out of me, and that has never happened before.
Oh.
And it's almost like I'm not in any control of what is coming out of my mouth.
I love it, honey. You've just lost your psychic filter. You're channeling, darling. Heather, you're channeling, and that is that there is no thought or conscious effort into our speech. It just flows. And
yeah, that's what it was. These are not my words. I did not, you know, they didn't appear in my head. It wasn't a message. Yeah. It's just coming out of my mouth.
They're not. You know, for some people, and it depends what type of channeling it is, Heather, for some people there might be a change of voice. And you're right, they're not your words, honey. They don't belong to you. You're literally a vessel for which spirit is speaking through. I have to ask you a question, because for me, when I channel, I have no conscious memory. I couldn't repeat to you what I said if you paid me. There's no way. I don't know what I just said to you. I always advise my clients to either record the session or take notes, because I can't repeat it. Now, when this happened to you, do you have memory of what you said?
No, not afterwards. No.
Okay. Yeah, while you're saying it, there's awareness.
So I need to start telling them when I catch myself, you know, right afterwards, to say, you know, you need to write down what I just said, because I don't remember it.
Right, right. And that's exactly it. You do have to have somebody write them down or record your sessions. Your channeling abilities are going to increase, and you'll be able to trans-channel too. So that's something that you'll probably get eased into. I think spirit's going to be very good to you, honey. And I do believe that. And you were saying in the chat room earlier that you went in and cleared out the neighbor's house. Good for you. Just be strong. And what I wrote there was in chat room is true. Just be strong about telling them to get out. And I mean, physician, heal thyself on this one, because I've been talking to everybody in the back room and in the front room too about all the activity in my house as of recently. And most spirit will politely leave when you ask them to go. And it depends on what you're dealing with. But in the neighbor's house,
when I went into the house, I wasn't myself. I was very, I'm pretty confident then. And, but when I went in there, I was on a mission.
you were aggressive?
And he was following behind me saying, "Would you leave, please?" I'm like, "Don't tell them, please. Tell them to get out."
So he was telling you to let the people that live there out?
Yeah, there were some very bad things that happened in that house, especially in a particular bathroom.
Okay.
With a woman. And they were staying there, and it was very present in a certain bedroom and a bathroom, but I mean his dogs were keeping him up at night. He couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. So we staged the house. I got some candlewood. I burned that. We went through all the house, the whole house, every nook cranny. I just, you know, I did corners as best I could at 5'2", you know. But
right.
It seems to work. But Doug said I should get a feather. I'll get a feather next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Use a feather for the smudging. That place is very active. But honey, you got the strength and the abilities to do this. There's no doubt in my mind. And you're going to notice your gifts. Remember we were talking before, your gifts are starting to open up and flow more readily. And there's a few more paths that are going to be open to you, let's say. Let's just put it that way. Okay. We'll leave the rest for a surprise.
There's definitely been a lot of surprises coming my way. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, so I'm going to let you go, let somebody else get through and talk to
you. Okay, Heather. Take care, sweetheart. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
You're welcome.
Okay, now we do also have a question that we're going to take from the chat room, and this question is from Toba for you, Sharon.
Thanks. Okay. Tober's question is, as I fall asleep, I hear voices, even more so when I'm sick. The other day, I heard one, as clear as a bell, say, "Your power is increasing." What did she mean, and who was she? The first thing I'm getting for you is, first of all, good going. But what I'm feeling is that the spirit's trying to talk to you, and in the day they're hearing too much chatter. So when you're sleeping, you're kind of your guards down, so they can get through to you really easily. What I would suggest is before you go to bed, say a prayer and surround yourself with light. Because I feel that you're going to be asked to travel soon, I guess it's called astral traveling. So you want to make sure you do a prayer so that you stay as close to your body as you can. And what I'm feeling is it is a lady, and it feels like a spirit guide. And what she's talking about is your future. She's talking about your gifts. And when she says increasing, it's like get ready for the things that you're going to be doing, and we're all being called upon at just timing. Actually, we all fought to be here at this time because it is such a great time to be here. But what I'm feeling is it is a lady and it is a spirit guide, and she's asking you to start acknowledging your gifts, and you know, maybe during the day, every so often, instead of having them to come to you during the night, is just lay low a bit during the day, like have some meditation time so that they can maybe talk to you in the day, and you'll have some kind of cross reference. Okay, so that's what I'm feeling. Okay, Tober, thanks. Is that okay, Steve?
We have another question from the chat room. And I'm going to ask Sharon if you could tell me what that question is, please, because I'm not actually in the chat room this evening as I'm focused on hosting.
Okay, there's one that's written here on our list. Is that the one that we're taking? So I'm wondering if I will be good success, that one?
Yes.
From Sparkles? Okay, so I'm wondering if I will have good success in expanding my business and working with my friend Sherry, or if I would be better off to send resumes to find another employment situation. Will my overall financial picture be improving soon? Sparkles in chat.
Well, Sharon, it's a brilliant question, and thank you for reading it out for me. My guides are really clear about this. My guides are saying that, and the name is Sparkles, you said, Sharon.
Yes, Sparkles.
Sparkles. Sparkles, my guides are saying that you must not give up on your business, because your business is focused on your passion. You are one of these people that we've talked about in the show. You have created a business, the first business, because there are more, but you've created a business focused on one of your greatest passions, and you do not need to let go of that. You need to stay committed to it, but also you should send your resume out, but to a selection of organizations that you're interested in, that are engaged again in your passions and your strengths, because it's important that we take action. It's important that we use all of the strategies available to us in order to pursue our paths and achieve what we want to achieve, and pursue our talents, our gifts. So my guides are saying to you, pursue all avenues, because you're a lady of action, and it's through taking action that you feel comforted, that you feel uplifted. And when we take action, when we show that we are prepared to do whatever it takes to stay in tune with and on track with our dreams, the universe, the spirit world will support us. I can tell you, when I quit my corporate career to pursue my spiritual work, I asked Spirit for a lot. I asked Spirit to help me make a difference in the world, but to maintain my comfortable lifestyle and to be able to travel back to Europe to see the people I love and to have a wonderful life. And I set my expectations and my requests right up there. But there have been tests. But I maintain my commitment to my dream. And, you know, I said to my guides, I am so committed to this path that I will do whatever is required to deliver and make a difference in the world, to help people and to use the gifts that I have. And we all have wonderful, wonderful gifts, our strengths, those things that we feel passionate about, those things that we do so well, so naturally, so easily, those things that enable us to lose all sense of time because we're so engaged, so in tune with the natural flow of our essence. And I said to my guides, if I need to knock on my neighbors' doors and ask them if they need me to clean their homes or do their yards, if I need to do that, if I need to do that during the daytime, I will do it with pride. I will do it with spirit. I will live with spirit. And in the evenings and the weekends, I will continue the work that's extremely important to me. And I would see that as a strategy of many that enables me to stay very much in line with my purpose. Now, I have not had to go down that route. I've been fortunate. But acknowledging it, taking action that makes us feel comfortable, these things are important. They are a reflection of our commitment to what it is we're creating. So my guides say to you, absolutely send your resume out there. You'll find that you make interesting contacts. I feel that you will engage in some part-time work. It feels like two and a half days a week, and it's in the new year. But you'll find that it's part of the solution because it gives you some peace of mind, and it connects you with interesting people that are aligned energetically with your dream, your business, and other entrepreneurial activities that you will get involved in. So see it all as part of the solution and embrace whatever you need to do with commitment to who you are at the core and what you choose to be and create in this lifetime. The spirit world will not let you down. They will test us. But when we rise to the challenge, magic occurs. And you're going to do brilliantly. You're very, very gifted. You do need to be a little more methodical. My guides are saying you need to take the opportunity to build in more structure into your routine, a little more discipline into the way you organize yourselves, yourself. Well, actually, yourself. So there must be other people that you're managing, whether that's family or employees, but get everyone in your close circle organized. Insist on more discipline, more organization, more focus. Calm your energy. You're not meditating enough at all. And you will find that when you meditate more, even if it's just a few minutes a day to start with, you will hear exactly the messages that the spirit world are sharing with you to give you guidance. So go for it, because you're going to do brilliantly. Okay, now we are drawing towards the end of the show, unfortunately. We have a few more minutes left. I just want to take another moment to ask everybody again to send love and be love. We face challenges in our lives, but if we face them with love, even if we don't have the opportunity to give our love face to face, but to project our love out to people who are at a distance or who are not currently part of our experience, if we project love, if we be love, if we keep our sights on what it is we're creating, what we choose to be, and we maintain our integrity, then we make the world a better place. And incredible things do happen. So let's all try this week to be love, no matter what we face. And please also send your love to our wonderful Maureen and her father, who's transitioned to the spirit world today. And keep Maureen's mother and family in your prayers. And send love to the universe so that it can be absorbed by whoever needs our good energy and good intentions. I want to thank you, Patty, and Sharon, as always, for a wonderful show, wonderful interaction, and particularly for helping me out when I've had my internet connection problems.
It's our pleasure, Steve, anytime.
Now, I apologize, but in all honesty, I cannot say to you I know who's hosting our show next week. I think it's you, Sharon. Are you hosting next week?
Yes, me. Yep.
Great. What can you tell us about the show you've got planned for us next week?
Okay, we have someone named Sharon Wyatt, and she works with names. So she's going to tell us what each names mean. So, like, what does the R in your name mean? Why, you know, it's going to be really exciting.
Wonderful. That sounds great. And then you're hosting the week after that, Patty.
Yes, I am, which will be wonderful. That'll be my first time hosting, guys, so I'm going to need all the support I can get.
Well, we'll be there for you, but you will do an amazing job. What's the topic you have planned for us, Patty?
You know what? That is still yet to be a surprise at this point.
Aha! Well, that's something to look forward to. I've got a great show lined up just after yours, Patty, and it's actually focused on exorcism. And, you know, in my work and in our work, I know that we stay focused on light and the fact that when we cast light on darkness, there is light. The darkness cannot escape the light. But when we cast darkness on light, it cannot overcome or obscure the light. But it is important at times that we understand how to help people who are experiencing difficulties with negative entities. And, you know, it exists. There is a polarity. So we'll be having a very interesting show on that subject, but focused very much on how to stay of the light, so that we together become lighter and lighter and create shifts and transformation. So that's going to be a really fascinating show. I'm very much looking forward to that one.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it too, Steve. That sounds amazing.
It will be very interesting. Well, guys, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. I want to take a moment to thank Doug for all of his hard work behind the scenes. He puts a lot of effort into the radio show, and I know that our listeners enjoy our work. So thank you to you, Doug, for keeping us on track as our executive producer and for all of the passion and enthusiasm that you put into this opportunity to reach out to our clients and our listeners with great information, insight, and guests. So Sharon, we're going to look forward to your show next week.
Yep.
I want to thank you. So please, Sharon, Patty, take your opportunities to say goodnight.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. See you next week.
Thank you, guys. Good night, everybody. Remember, be love, and do join us again next week at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.